Your actual versus your potential. This is going to free some of you. This topic is going to free some of you. Tori and I corresponded yesterday by text because of a movie that we both watched, that he recommended that I watch some time ago. It's a very exciting movie. Knock Around Guys? Is that it? And there's a line in that movie, there's a situation in that movie that I thought of when I was preparing this message. And there is a group of people that have run into a situation. And they're in a warehouse or something, and unbeknownst to them, they're surrounded by other people. They don't know they're there. And the leader of the other people is John Malkovich. And Tori said, when I give this quote, I should sound like John Malkovich, which I'm not going to be able to do. Would you want to come up and do John Malkovich, Tori? Because you're really good at it. Come up and do that quote, John Malkovich. Yeah, come up here and do it. Right now. So this is the Davis family show today, apparently. Tad, your thing's coming up, Tad. So this is the quote, and you're going to be John Malkovich. All right. The quote that John Malkovich says to this group of people, okay, in the microphone.
All right, listen, I know you thought this was a manageable situation, but some situations are unmanageable.
That is so good. That is really good. Oh, you nailed it. That was him. Yeah. I know you thought this was a manageable situation, but there are some situations that are unmanageable. Do you want God to be your manager of your actual? Do you want God to manage your actual? Because are some of you in situations that are unmanageable? There are some that are unmanageable. In John chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000, and there's 5,000 men that are sitting there, and Jesus instructs the disciples that they should feed them. And you know the story. The disciples said, well, we don't have any money, and it's too far to get to town. And so here's a young lad that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so Jesus takes that and breaks the bread, divides it up to the disciples. They pass out the food. Everybody's fed. There's leftovers. Jesus withdraws to a deserted place after this miracle. He leaves. Jesus just took care of their actual, didn't he? They were hungry. Jesus fed them. He managed their actual. Next day, the crowd looks for him. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew that there had only been one boat, and they knew that Jesus had boarded that boat and gone to the other side. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, listen to what Jesus says. I assure you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, not because you really understood what I was doing there. When he fed them with this miracle, there was a deeper meaning to what he was doing. Not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. Your earthly facts, your actual, what you're dealing with on the ground, is perishable. It's slated for obsolescence. It's already been dealt with. Stop asking God to manage your actual, perishable, already dealt with earthly facts. These people came back to Jesus the next day because, that, like we talked about with Teresa up here, they wanted Jesus just to fix their actual. And Jesus says, I'm not here to manage your actual. Please understand this. This is going to free some people. Because you're working for something that's your problems have already been dealt with. Your earthly facts have a heavenly truth behind them. See, the stuff that we see and we deal with, if you're a person or man or woman of God, there's a heavenly truth that is lurking in the shadows and hidden behind it. God's already dealt with your earthly fact. The problem, the wrong thing felt or imagined in your life has already been fixed. And so Jesus then, trying to get this point across to these people, and he goes into his real message. He goes into what he's really here to do for them. You know the passage in John chapter 6? And he gives them hard teaching. He tries to draw them up to, watch this, up to their potential. Because Jesus knew if he just kept fixing their actual, they would think, they would stop there, wouldn't they? That would be, to them, that's the potential that they wanted. Fix my actual as my potential. And Jesus knew if he just kept performing this miracle and feeding them, fixing their actual, that they would never make the next move. Tracking? So he gets into his real message. I'm here to draw you up into the potential that God has for you. I'm here for interchange in your life. I'm here for you to take the next move and make the next step. And what happens? From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Can you accompany God even when... Now, here's where you're going to stumble. Can you accompany God even when he's not here to manage your actual? In fact, when he refuses to manage your actual? Because that's what happened here. And from that moment on, many disciples deserted him and didn't accompany him anymore because God... If you're not here to manage my actual, if you're not here to fix my earthly facts, then I'm not going with you any longer. And they left him. That's example one of a group. Maybe you're in that group. Where you keep hammering on the door of heaven, demanding that God manage your actual. Fix my actual. Here's another example. Here's one where it turned around the other way. Again, Teresa, you opened with both of these in her Bible study. Lazarus, Martha, the tomb, Jesus. And Martha says to Jesus, if you'd have been here, Jesus, you could have managed this, you could have managed Lazarus's, my brother's illness. You could have managed my actual earthly facts for me. Jesus answers her. Jesus gives her a word. Jesus says the same thing basically to her that he says to the 5,000 people. He says to Martha, there's a bigger thing here. Yes, I could have been here. Yes, I could have managed your earthly facts. Yes, I could have managed the actual of that illness. Yes, I could have done that. But Martha, I want you to make the next move. And he says to Martha, there's a hidden potential here, Martha. There's a heavenly truth here, Martha, that is hidden, and it's the potential of this whole situation that is hidden that can be drawn out. And here's what he says to her, and Martha makes a move. Martha, unlike the 5,000 who desert, and the disciples who no longer accompany him because they got the message that Jesus is not there to manage their actual facts. And Martha gets that same message, and then she says, Jesus says to her, do you believe this, Martha? Martha, do you believe? Or are you still stuck in demanding that I manage your earthly facts for you, that I manage your actual? And Martha acquiesces, and Martha says, I see it, I believe it, and I know what you're saying now, and the result of that is the potential of that whole scenario is a situation that resonated through the millennial that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. You see, are you open to newness in your situation? Martha became open to newness. If you are demanding through your prayers, through your living, if you are demanding that God is to manage your actual, and you stay recalcitrant in that approach, you're not open to newness. When you understand that God is not here to fix your earthly facts, is that unattractive to you? Is that patently unattractive to you? Because it was patently unattractive to the 5,000 when they finally understood what Jesus was saying when he says, you're working for something that has already been dealt with. You're working for the things that are perishable. He says, work for the things that aren't perishable. And as long as you stay in that place where you are in a situation that is unmanageable and you are calling on God that you better manage this for me, you are not open to newness. And without being open to newness, the potential of that situation will never come to fruition in your life. Genesis 1:2. I'll just read it. Because this is how God works. And this is how we explain the miracles of Jesus, the healings of Jesus. Jesus comes across a man that was blind. Remember that story in Luke? And what does Jesus say to him?
Do you want to see?
Yes, yes, yes. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And the man was open to newness. And he had the audacity to say to Jesus, I want to see. He didn't say to Jesus, I want you to manage this blindness for me. Just, I want you to help me figure out how to manage this blindness, Jesus. What are you saying to God with your earthly facts? What are you saying about your situation? That's not how God works. Now, the earth was formless, empty, and dark. And it covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface. God didn't manage that situation. You see this? He could have. Just rearrange those things a little bit, God. Just manage. Manage the actual of this earth. The actual was empty, dark, and chaotic. That's the actual. No, God didn't manage that. God has none of that. He's not going to manage your actual. Stop demanding that from God because you're not open to newness. That's Genesis 1:2. And Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made. It was no longer formless. It was no longer empty. It was no longer dark. It was now full, and it had light, and it had purpose. And what was it that caused that? It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God that made the potential a concrete reality. This is the miracles of Jesus. I don't know really how far to tease this out. I'll tell you the truth. When I prepared this message and where the Holy Spirit has taken me, you know, it's a risk. I'm taking a risk here, and I know that. It was the Word of God that didn't manage the actual, didn't manage it. As long as you're asking God to manage your actual, your potential is thwarted, just like Teresa talked about up here. Kay was up here some time ago and talked to us. And Kay, you made a statement about, you said, this and that has happened, and Kay said, let it go. Let it go. I know you think this is a manageable situation, but there are some situations that are unmanageable. John tells us in his book, in his gospel, you see, we talk about it was the Word of God that insinuated itself into this empty, dark chaos. You've got some of that empty, dark chaos in God's Word. God spoke. The Spirit was hovering. I love that distinction, by the way. You see the Trinitarian concept right there in the first two verses of Genesis. See, we've got God, then we have the Spirit. The Spirit hovers. The Spirit doesn't insinuate. Isn't that interesting? The Spirit is hovering over this empty, dark chaos. And the Spirit is hovering over my actual. The Spirit's hovering over your actual and over your earthly facts and my empty, dark chaos. And the Spirit hovers over that, but it is the Word of God that insinuates into that, that comes into that. And God speaks. And the empty, dark chaos becomes full, becomes potential, becomes light, and has purpose. And John tells us, now watch this. John tells us in his gospel that it was, I just read that. In the beginning was the Word. Who is this? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Who is he? How do we explain his miracles? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, this Word that has the juice to come into the actual chaos, it's an intangible thing, isn't it? It's just the Word. It's intangible. You can't see it, but it has the power to bring potential from the actual. That Word has the power to take the actual and not manage it. Please do not misconstrue this. That God's Word in Genesis 1:2 did not manage anything. Jesus at Lazarus didn't manage Lazarus's illness. Jesus feeding the 5,000 refused to manage their actual. Because the minute he does that, your potential is truncated. Had God and the Word managed Genesis 1:2, Genesis 1:31 ain't happening. Tracking? Like this? So what happened to this intangible Word that has this power to insinuate itself into a situation that is empty, dark, and chaotic? What happened to that Word that we couldn't see? You could hear it, but you couldn't see it. Verse 14 of John, first chapter. The Word imbued with all of that original creation power. The Word holding the same potential to take your actual and show you your potential to not manage your actual, but to allow, like Teresa said, to allow the actual to do what it's supposed to do in your life. If you're a man or woman of God, your actual situation has a purpose. And as long as you're hanging on to the fact that God's job is to manage my actual, the potential is truncated. Genesis 1:31 ain't happening for you. What happened to that Word imbued with the same power? That Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory now. The word is now called him, his. It's not good. And when that creative Word became flesh, now John starts talking about the Word as a person. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Luke chapter 8, the little girl that dies, chapter 8, verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the synagogue leader's house. It's the synagogue leader's house who has a child that is deathly ill, and they're coming to Jesus, and they're saying to Jesus, I need you to manage my actual. Jesus, my little girl's really ill. I need you to manage my actual. Came from the synagogue leader's house saying, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Is your situation dead? Unmanageable? This is an unmanageable situation. God's not managing my actual earthly facts. They're running amok, and apparently he's not going to intervene. And so just leave him alone. They say, just leave him alone. It's too late. Everyone was crying and mourning for her. And the Spirit of God is hovering over this whole thing. Hovering. Take comfort in that, God's people. Whatever your actual situation that is unmanageable, and by the way, that's a blessed place to be. Understand, man or woman of God, that the Spirit of God is hovering over it. And here's the Spirit hovering over this situation. But remember now, it wasn't the Spirit that changed Genesis 1:2 to Genesis 1:31. It wasn't the Spirit. It was the Word. And now this Word took up residence among us, John says. And let's see what this Word does with a similar Genesis 1:2 situation. Because here, this is empty and dark and chaotic, a death of a child, and it doesn't get any worse than that. Everyone was crying and mourning for her, but he said, the Word, stop crying, for she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Again, the Word of God, now a person, Jesus, made the potential a concrete reality. Because that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God doesn't manage. He's not a manager. Stop asking him to manage your unmanageable situation. Because he's not going to, and then you'll no longer accompany him. In fact, by asking God to be a manager of your earthly facts, by asking God to be the manager of your actual, do you know what that does? That keeps you focused on the actual, you see? That keeps you focused on the unmanageable situation. You're focused on it. I know some of you are focused on it. And as long as you are, there's no newness coming your way. You see, in Genesis, God stopped focusing on the empty, dark chaos. You've got to stop focusing on it. You've got to stop that. Because Jesus said that keeps you tied down to the mundane. Instead, allow for newness to come from the unmanageable situation, and then you watch the Spirit of God and the Word of God work in your life. Stop demanding like the 5,000. And they argued with Jesus. They said, well, Moses fed our forefathers in the desert. They argued with God, with Jesus. They argued, you're here to manage my earthly facts. You're here to manage my actual. And Jesus said, no, you're working for something that's already been dealt with. It's redundant. Now I want you to experience the potential, the hidden heavenly truth behind your earthly facts. And as long as you're focused on the unmanageable situation, you'll never see it. Nicodemus? Unless you're born again, you're never going to see it. See, See, that's what happened in the Nazareth rationality that we talked about last week, where Jesus comes into the synagogue, the Nazareth manifesto, I call it. And he comes into their synagogue in Nazareth and he starts teaching them. You see, here's what happened. And they realized very quickly, this is unmanageable. We aren't going to be able to manage him, and we're not going to be able to manage this message. And the people come into the synagogue here because that's what we do. We manage their stuff for them. We manage their earthly facts. And the minute the word gets out that's not the role of our faith and that's not the role of the church, then we lose control. Stop being tied down to the mundane. Stop focusing on your actual. Stop demanding that God be your manager of your earthly facts. Because you can stay stuck there, and I know people stuck there forever. And they don't accompany God anymore because he's not managing their earthly facts. Allow for newness. Allow the word to make the potential of any and all unmanageable situations, watch this, any and all unmanageable situations, when exposed to the Word of God, will show you the potential, will show you the heavenly truth that is lurking behind that thing that dogs your steps. And Martha made that move. Martha made the move. And we talked about in Teresa's class this morning, I said, if Martha hadn't made the move, would Lazarus have been resurrected? Because Jesus said to her, do you believe this? And she says, yes. I'm focused now on the potential. And a man is raised from the dead. I hope this serves as something that will whet your appetite for what we're going to do here in the next few weeks when we get into the miracles of Jesus, the healings of Jesus, and the implications that has for us here today in our lives. And again, I know this is risky. This subject is risky, what I'm taking on, because I don't, as I said, know how far out to tease this concept into today. But it is what the Holy Spirit has brought to me, and therefore, it is what I will bring to you. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would make this message clear, and I trust it is what your Spirit has given me to say. Amen.